Look at something from 25, and then we'll actually start in 26. So just stay with me. Verse 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now let's go back here, because you know what he just did? You know what Isaac just did? He sinned against God. In those verses, Isaac, the patriarch, sinned against God. How do I know that? Because I read my Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Remember, Abraham gets remarried to Keturah. He has all these children and all these people and all these things that come out. He has six children with her. But when that happened, before Abraham is going to die, Abraham's generations were such, it's very clear that Abraham, he had a son named Ishmael, remember that? And he's the father of Islam, really. No, he's not the father of Islam, let me take that back. He's the father of Arabic people, which from that stems Islam and those folks there. But if you remember when this happened, he has a son named Isaac, who is the younger son, right? But it was, remember it says, God said to him to take your son, your only begotten son, when he told him to take Isaac up the hill. And we were like, why? He says, your only begotten son. He has another son. But we talked about the son of promise. Isaac got a similar command. And look at verse 21 in chapter 25. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. But what's Isaac trying to do at the end of his life? He's trying to bless the elder. Now, we know in between this, we read that old Esau despised his own birthright, right? The Bible clearly says that, that Esau had the birthright, even though God said this is what's going to happen. That was God telling them. He had preordained what was going to happen. But the physical action of that, the free will action of that, was when Esau's coming out and he's faint and Jacob's making a stew and he's like, oh, I'm about to die. Give me some of that. Sod a little pottage for me. And Jacob's like, sell me your birthright. And guess what? Esau loved the things of man more than the things of God. And he sold his godly birthright, which would have been right, the eldest, even though God knew that would happen. He sold that. But when it's time to die, when it's time for Isaac to die, Isaac is still trying to get it done the way that Isaac wants it to be done. Not only did God tell Isaac who would be the son of promise, the younger, that the elder would serve the younger, but also, you don't think that Isaac knows the story that Esau came and sold his birthright? I'm sure it was talked about. I'm sure it was probably somewhere in camp that happened. So we get there in chapter 27, and that's what's going to happen. But let's read the middle chapter here, and let's read chapter 26. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine, that was the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Remember, Abimelech went to Isaac's mom, and remember, Abimelech is a title. It's not a person. So there's Abimelech 1, 2, 3. But remember, Abimelech, when Sarah was old, when she was 80, and she was still a babe, and he tried to take her, and then he's like, why have you done this thing to me? So the same land there. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Now that's interesting because we know that Isaac's going to have a son named Jacob who's going to have a son who gets sold into slavery and ends up in Egypt, and they all end up there anyway, don't they? Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, God's speaking directly to Isaac. He's telling him exactly what's going to happen. He's already told him who the son of promise is, so he's telling him how this is going to continue on. This should continue on, right, from you and to Jacob, right? But we're going to get to this place where, of course, he's going to look at Esau. But while this happens, the narrative turns back here for just a moment. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." I mean, these patriarchs got some absolute babes as wife, don't they? She's old too by this point, all right? She's kind of old. Remember, she was barren for a long time. So Rebekah's an older lady here too. And man, like father, like son, right? Same people, same land, same situation. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest that she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, now remember, this is a lack of faith. This is a lack of trust. God's already said your generations are going to continue on. He's already said in chapter 25 that it's going to be through the younger son. And yet you're still doing the same mistakes as the father, right? And Abimelech called Isaac and said, and Abimelech said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have leaned with thy wife and should have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." These Abimelechs, they were really good men of sound reason and integrity. They're like, no. And so even though they would have been polytheistic, even though they would not have been followers of Jehovah God, they at least had some understanding or fear of a God or gods that, hey, we should not lie with another man's wife, right? We see the classic causation here. We talked about it this morning. The classic causation of there has to be a starting point of why anybody's moral in the first place. Like, some people were like shocked today. You know, it's like, what? Like, there has to be a starting point? Yes, there has to be a starting point for why we do what we do, right? Why would we wash our car? Because it's dirty. Anybody got a dirty car right now? We all have a dirty car right now, right? And you won't be able to get into the car wash for the next 6 weeks, all right? Because as soon as it's warm, everybody's going to be out there. So just wash it at your house. If you can get your hose and the water's not frozen, just wash it at your house. But, you know, that's the cause. Why do I wash my car? Because it's dirty. I never washed my clean car. My dad did. My dad washed the car every day for no reason at all. But listen, you know what I never do? I never scratch my nose unless it itches. There's always a cause for what we do, right? Nose itches, I scratch it. This is just what we do. Even in the morality of mankind, there has to be a reason why. And Abimelech's reason was not because he served the Most High God. It was because this was, remember when Jesus says that it was not so in the beginning, that it, from the beginning it was one man and one woman and this how it was? That wasn't, we have to understand this, and this is why it's so fun to talk about these things. That wasn't a conversation Jesus was having with just Christians. He was saying that's how it was for everybody. It wasn't so. We did not have all these multiple wives, and we didn't have these TV shows that are called sister wives and all this sickness. We didn't have this nonsense. It was one man, one woman for a lifetime. If he died or she died, you could get remarried. But other than that, even if you didn't like each other, you just die together. So Abimelech had that much reason. And so he says, if you touch this woman, you'll be put to death. Then Isaac sowed, verse 12, in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forth and grew until he became very great. What is it? God continuing to establish that covenant of Genesis 24 with Isaac. He's already established it with his father. Now he's continuing to establish with Isaac that you're going to be blessed. You're going to be a great man amongst all these folks. And he had for possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped him and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." That's a great verse too, because a lot of people, when they know that you're just better than them, they don't want you near them, right? They're going to despise you or envy you, and so they want you away. A couple of chapters from now, we're going to see what happens with Joseph and his brothers. Why did Joseph's brothers really want to put him to death? Because they were jealous of them. We're going to see some of that here today, just about the cost it is, especially with parents. If you favor a child, having a favorite and treating your children differently, it causes something and it stirs up things, and it can only cause issues and problems. And we're going to see that. You think you got a messed up family? You think you got some drama? I mean, the patriarchs' families are like messed up, dude, right? I mean, we've already started off with Abraham having baby by Hagar, right? We've got some messed up things going on. And Isaac digged again the wells of the water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And so it's a reconvening of the covenant. And so when Abraham died, they're like, we don't know Abraham's son, but now God has enlarged Isaac. And they're like, okay, he's great too. And so he begins that work again. It is kind of like what happens when Joseph dies in Egypt and a Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. And so they don't have any regard or any respect. So when Abraham died, there's no regard or respect, but God had a covenant promise and through this next patriarch, Isaac. And so you see that restoring and renewing. If this had been stopped, Isaac's going, okay, where's my faith? These things my dad had, like I'm supposed to be the next in line. Can you imagine being Abraham's son? We don't sing Father Isaac had many sons. We sing Father Abraham has many sons. So he's like, I can never live up to what dad's doing. But now he's starting to come into his own, and they're like, Isaac, you the man. Here's some things here. And so now Isaac, he's rebuilding and naming them after the things that his dad named him. In verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. And so that means contention. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him that same night. So here's a personal revelation, okay? As we looked at Genesis 25, we've kind of sandwiched that with 27 already. Watch the filling here. Here's the stuff. And the Lord appeared unto him in the night, same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. Isaac knew the covenant promises to his father Abraham. He had been given the covenant promises. He had been told that the elder shall serve the younger. All that is, we've got that, right? We don't have to guess. It's not conjecture. It's not fact. It's in here. He says, here's what's happening here. He says, here's what I want you to do. So I'm with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. What a great revelation God gave him, right? Wouldn't you love to hear the audible voice of God just say, I'm going to bless you? Amen. I mean, God's blessed me without the audible voice, but man, what if it just came down, right? And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazath, one of his friends, and Philcol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Man, what a great contextual verse there. These people are like, get away from us, we hate you, but you just keep doing what the Lord tells you to do. You just keep being godly, and you just keep being a light, and eventually people either come around, and they may not want to be around you like Abimelech was, but they'll see who you are. And I have had this in my life so many times where people who have completely opposite viewpoints of me, eventually, when I don't get mad, when I don't get argumentative, when I don't get boastful, they come to a knowledge of, they may not get saved, but they come to this knowledge of this guy is who he says that he is, and there's a mutual respect. And where they once like kind of like wanted to push me away, then there's like this, like, I guess it happens the most when people who are not believers that I know, most of the time this happens at the nursing home in Inglewood at Cypress Point, people that I've been witnessing to for 7 years, ever since we've had a relationship there, the workers and things like this, they don't really want anything to do with the Lord. They don't really want to come to church. There used to be a time where they would kind of like dodge me when they see me coming because they didn't want to, you know, if I asked them if they had any prayer requests, they're like, no. But it's the funniest thing, maybe 5 or 6 times over the last 7 years, those same people came to me and somebody in their family died and they're like, we need somebody to do a funeral. And I go, interesting. Interesting, isn't it? The same people that reject it, but you just keep being who you are, because you know what I do every time I go there? I say hello to them, and I smile at them, and I'm friendly to them. I didn't get mad. I just keep being me. I just keep being who I am. And eventually they come around. Isaac just kept being who he was, and they saw it, that the Lord was with him. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in mourning and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. This is a physical proving of what God said. Here's the covenant. Here's these people. Remember God said to Abraham, he says, people that curse you, I'm going to curse. The people that bless you, I'm going to bless. And Isaac's getting a physical proof, a physical evidence of that covenant that God spoke and passed on to him. Now he got the spiritual from God himself, right? And now God sends Abimelech to give him the physical proving of it, that this is the reality. This is the covenant. And the covenant is good with me. But remember what he said to Abraham, the covenant is good with me, but it's good with all men, that men will see it too. And you know, that's the New Testament covenant that Jesus gives us. Jesus says this. Here's a key verse that Jesus says to us. He says, all men, for my sakes, as they have hated me, they will also hate you, right? But then Jesus also says that if anybody comes to him, right, through the Spirit, to them they become the sons of God. And so everybody who does hear the word of God preached and accept that, they become our brother or sister in Christ. And so that's the opposite of somebody that's opposing us. And so the covenant still works this way, because as we continue to be salt and light in the world, we only have two things that we can possibly do. We can either draw people to us, or push people away from us. But the people who are pushed away from us, if we continue to be salt and light, people are naturally drawn to light and to flavorful food. Anybody here like food with no flavor? Nobody likes bland flavor. And God's promise is that people don't like blandness either. Even if they won't admit it out loud sometimes, you'll be the one they call on when they need a prayer. I had a man. He's a professor he was a professor at Wilmington College, an adjunct professor, and I grew up around him. His family, his dad just passed away actually. His family, very good moral people. Every once in a while, the parents would show up to our sending church or come to a big day or something like that. We're very good friends, next door neighbors with a faithful family. They're both going on to heaven from our church. And this young man is a few years older than me. And I mean, he is an atheist by his own admission. He's not a nasty atheist. He's not mean or nasty. He's very friendly to me and to my family. Went to college with my wife and I, and a very nice man. And even him, okay, even he has said things like this to me before in several conversations. He'll see me. He calls me pastor, which is weird for an atheist. And he'll say things to me like, I'm like, man, you're doing such good things out there. And, you know, you've got a lot of good information and stuff like that. And he's like, psh, I'm not doing anything compared to you. He's like, you're just dealing with people's eternity. And I'm like, makes no sense to me. Like, right. But like, he's a smart guy. And you know what it is? I just continue to treat him the same. We continue to be able to have a dialogue, and it keeps the door open. And you know what happened? His dad passed away a couple weeks ago, and he said this, will you pray for me? And I was like, for who am I going to pray to? What, like, you don't believe in, he's not even agnostic. You don't believe. So you know what that reminded me of? What I was talking about last week. He's a suppressionist. Because you can't ask me to pray to somebody that doesn't exist. And even if you wanted me to pray to a statue or something, that would still be that some God. So you're not an atheist. So when you self-proclaim yourself to be an atheist, but you ask somebody to pray for you, so either his dad dying like sparked something because his mother's still alive, I don't know, but this door is cracked. And I'll be very gentle, but also bold and trying to take advantage of that, all right? His name is Nick. So if you'll pray for Nick, I would appreciate that. But even so, it's so important that we see this, that God has given us that covenant as well, that we're blessed of the Lord. And so when this takes place in verse 27, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well, which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. There before the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. So it was still there when Jesus was walking the earth. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah, because he takes somebody outside of their family family's lineage. So now we're back to those original verses. So that was kind of like just a sub-story. But 25 and 27 are really connected. Now, the Bible's in order, but sometimes the Bible kind of takes a little dip and turn. And you're like, why was that chapter there? And that's just how it was. But now we get to 27 and put together here. Isaac, isn't it very clear and confirmed in 25 who the son of promise is? Isn't it very clear and concise in 26 that God gave him special revelation, the spiritual covenant, but then also the physical covenant? God confirms through Abimelech and his servants that, hey, you're going to be this blessed person. And we get to chapter 27 and Isaac still doesn't get it. Here's the application for you and I. God can do all these things. God can give us sure signs, and sometimes we still don't get it. God's very clear to us. And it's not just all these do's, you need to do this, you need to do that. Sometimes it's don'ts, but sometimes it's just, I just want you to wake up and smell the coffee. And you know what I find is concerning for me personally as a pastor? This is, for Isaac, what a lot of Christians are not good at. If there's one thing that I try to be, it's self-aware. I'm going to give you a poor illustration, but it was the best one I could come up with. I worked on this. I carry this Crest scope around with me. Sometimes I have little like thin breath strips and things like this. And I'm very self-aware about my breath. Not to say that I never have bad breath, but I brush my teeth 1,000 times a day and floss them because I kind of like my teeth. And I'd like to keep them. So I go and get my checkups when they need to be done, things like this. But I'm really, really concerned about talking to people and having bad breath. I read a book by Adrian Rogers one time, and one of the things he says to young preacher boys, he says, don't wear socks with holes in it. He's like, you're holy, not your socks, right? Because when you get down to pray and you got big holes in your socks, people are like, that's trifling, right? And he says, and don't have foul breath. He's like, you're up in people's face trying to tell somebody about the Lord. And he's like, and they can't get past the fact that your breath smells like a dung pile, right? Like, so I try to keep this on here. So I'm self-aware. So I'm constantly like this. Have you ever seen me after I get done preaching? I'd be like, because I'm about to come down and do what? Shake everybody's hand. And I don't want to be like off there and I just said, oh, you know, the Lord is good. And you come down and you want to talk to me like, Pastor, I was taking notes. Sure you were. I can see you. And then I'm talking to you and you're like, phew. Pastor, that's sound like you got something on your mind. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't good. Be very self-aware. A self-aware person is very important, is it? So breath may be a very small thing, but isn't it good to be self-aware? You ever like done something in your life and you know that it wasn't good, or you know that you can't be talking about anybody else because you're self-aware enough to know who you are? A self-aware person, a self-aware Christian is the best kind of Christian, because a self-aware Christian realizes that they have their own problems and their own issues, and it'd be really hard for them to judge, and it'd be really hard for you to call out the speck in somebody else's eye when the beam is in your eye, right? And so when you're self-aware, it's really important. Like, I joke about this because it's just obvious, but like, I'm really self-aware about the fact that I'm not the smartest, most enlightened pastor in the world, and I don't have to be. So I just be the best me that I can be, right? I don't need to be like anybody else or do what anybody else does. I just need to be the best me and be as studied and as ready and as prepared as I possibly can be, and I don't have to shoot for anybody else or do this or do that, because I'm self-aware. I know who I am. And guess what God says? God says that's enough, right? He doesn't need me to be anything different than that. Being self-aware is really important. But what I really find out about Isaac is he's about a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are so oblivious to their own plight. Everybody else around you sees it, and you are not aware of who you are. Everybody else around you knows your breath stinks, but you don't know your breath stinks. Come on. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Everybody else around you can see that you don't do things decent in order. Everybody else around you can see, like, it amazes me how many parents think, like, oh, you know what? Like, this child is really, really good, and this child, like, sometimes people think that this child's really bad, and we look at them, we go, that one's really good. And we see the other one, we're like, ugh. Lack of self-awareness. Complete lack of self-awareness. Because what we want in our heart, it's not sin, it's not wrong, because what we want in our heart, we want this to be the way it is, don't we? We want it to look this way. Lack of self-awareness. Well, you know what? This is a lack of self-awareness. I go to church, go to church, but I don't do anything that church people are supposed to do. It's a lack of self-awareness. Looks good, but it's a lack of self-awareness. Always say this, if it's you, if you're the one, don't be the last one to know something about you. Don't be the last, because you know what that is? That's foolish behavior. If you're walking around and you stink, you should have smelled yourself before somebody else had to tell you. Come on now. Like, your nose and your mouth are this close. It just takes one of these. You know what? I need some mints or something. Does brother got a cough drop or anything? Some Ludens or something? I mean, I don't know. Ricolas, anything? Does anybody have a cert? I mean, I don't know. It's self-aware. But you know what you got to do? You gotta think about it, don't you? Everybody's checking themselves right now. Everybody's like, they're doing one of these. Like, before, after service, everybody's going to be looking at Miss Don like, you got some candy or something, some Skittles, anything to mask this, because I had garlic this afternoon. Isaac, this is my understanding of Isaac. He was not self-aware. Watch. Everything we just talked about from the verses we went back to in Genesis 25 to all of Genesis 26, watch how unaware of who he is, watch how unaware of who Esau is, and watch how unaware of who his wife is. Husbands, listen, you better be aware of who your wife is too. Wives the same way, but as the leader of the home, you better recognize some things about your wife and be like, yeah, that's not her. That's not, like, I'm aware. My wife can do this. My wife can do that. The lady was talking today, Melissa, Rob's wife, and she was talking about all the things that she can't do as a pastor's wife. And Rob was saying the same thing, but I said, Miss Melissa, let me tell you something. None of that's in the Bible anywhere. Never says that the pastor's wife got to be able to play piano or sing or run the nursery or do any. It's not in there anywhere. And it's like, you don't have to get this special calling. I said, are you a woman? Yes. Are you married to Pastor Rob? Yes. Do you believe that Pastor Rob's calling is true? Yes. Then you just go and just be happy. Do what you can do. Be faithful. Show up every week. God didn't say there's no qualifications for a pastor's wife in the Bible. There's actually qualifications for a deacon's wife, but not a pastor's wife in the Bible. So, you know, she's just kind of like worried about that as they get to start, like, I don't have any skills. And I'm like, neither does Rob. But guess what? God called him anyway. You're taller than him. That's one thing, right? But self-aware. You know, I liked it because she was like being self-aware. She's like, here's what I can't do. And I was like, you're being self-aware, though, about something that doesn't matter. God didn't call that. But there's things that we need to be self-aware about that do matter. Here's Isaac. You're the next in the line of the Abrahamic covenant. And God told you that verbally. And he proved it out physically. And here's what you got to do. And you're about to die. And Isaac is completely unaware of something that was clearly seen. You ever been told something clearly and still messed it up? Lord, I don't do this much anymore as I get older. I'm not the wisest, like I said, the best pastor or anything like that. But I say this, and I mean this. In 7 years, I tell people all the time, they're like, how's the church going? I'm like, everything's always good except for what I messed up. Except for when I poorly led a situation or when I poorly prayed over a situation or when I made a hasty decision. Like, generally, the church runs pretty smoothly until I mess it up. I'm just being honest, and I can be honest about that. It doesn't happen daily, but it has happened, and I have to go, that was a really dumb idea. Pastor Carter will remember this. This was really early on in the church. I thought that it was going to be a great idea at one point in time to have BLT Sunday. And so for breakfast, we had BLTs at the school. And it was a really dumb idea because we could not possibly keep that up and fry enough bacon for this many people. When there was 12 of us, it wasn't that hard. But I can't get that much tomato and lettuce and bacon in here every single Sunday. We had breakfast every first Sunday of the month. That was a terrible idea. It was great to start off with, but we couldn't. Do you know what our church would look like after one singular breakfast on a Sunday school morning when everybody brought breakfast right now? I mean, these Sunday school teachers that bring donuts and things like that in the nursery, like, can you imagine the amount of, like, lazy sluggardness when I'm starting to preach of people just with full bellies and just passed out in the rows and the aisles? People would begin to bring their blankets in this place. If you fill a Baptist belly up, they're not going to listen to you when you preach. I have learned that. I didn't know that when we first started, and so I realized, you know what? I'm going to stop feeding these dummies before I preach because they'd be tired, and then they don't listen to nothing. They just Amen, Pastor. They got bacon on their mind, you know what I mean? And bread in their belly. They ain't listening to nothing. Poor decision. I know another poor decision. One time, we thought it was going to be a really good idea to baptize people outside with our headlights in the middle of fall, and there was about 3 million leaves that fell into this baptistry, and we left it out there while we had service inside. We had enough hot water, and by the time we got out there, this pool was like splashing over the side, and we've got like pieces of wood trying to hold it up, and the day that we did that, we were baptizing a dude that was 6'8". The dumbest decisions. My decision, stupid. So I became self-aware. You know what I decided? You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get this portable baptistry. So some people here, Miss Danielle, Miss Denise, they got baptized in a portable baptistry. And that was all good until we had a leak. And it went all over the gym floor, and it took us about 6 hours to suck it up. And then we got here, and I thought, you know what? I have another good idea. This was a poor idea. This baptistry, as soon as we got here, the heater was broken. And I was like, you know what? Brother AJ suffered this. I was like, I know how we can get this water warm. Brother Brandon said, that's a bad idea, Pastor. I said, nah, I got this. You know what I did? This is really stupid. So nobody knows I did this. This is an admission that I'm making. Only Brandon knew that I did this. This is a really poor admission. I said, I think that we can get enough buckets of hot water to get this baptistry filled up, and that it will stay hot enough overnight that it will be like at least warm. And so we went off to carrying like hundreds of 5 gallon buckets. And I'm such an idiot. I was like, if we turn the heat up just hot enough, it was hot. It was already like June. It was June 7th. I'm like, if we turn the heat up, this was a Sunday morning. I got the heat on trying to keep the baptistry warm. Do you know it was freezing in there and we were all sweating to death? Just basic physics should have told my dumb self that wasn't going to work. But I thought, nah, surely. I'm like, the Lord will keep it warm. Nope. It was freezing cold. AJ came out of there. He was blue. He's, ooh. I said, you're a future senior deacon because you're tough. I mean, I was in waiters. I felt fine. Amen. I felt good. My arm was a little cold. But anyway, AJ was like done for. Made dumb decisions. But you know what? I get self-aware and I go, that's not a good idea. Let's do this better now. Learn from it, right? Isaac's heard all these things, and still, chapter 27, watch, and it came to pass. So time went on. Because remember, now he's going to be old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. And he calls Esau his oldest son, said, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Remember we already said earlier on, if you don't remember this, that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we already have a family feud, right? We already have parents playing favorites, and that won't work out well. And we see that with Jacob's own kids because Joseph's his favorite, and we see how that worked out. Now, eventually it works out for good, but we see the middle. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. So remember, he's not self-aware about himself and the covenant God's made with him. He's not self-aware about Esau, because Esau sold his birthright. He's not self-aware about his wife, because his wife is just like the one that she loves, a trickster and a deceiver. And he's not self-aware about Jacob, because Jacob stuck his brother up and ransomed him for a little bit of food. This is the father. Father is a big job, isn't it? You're the leader. You don't have to be omniscient, but you should know a little something about what's going on with the rest of your family in order to lead. So now, therefore, my son, verse 8, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So he goes out there, he does this, bring this father this meat. In verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were in her with her in her house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I." Now listen, he starts to perceive a little bit. Voice, "Who art thou, my son?" Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." I mean, you talk about the lion saying, "God bless me." We are just deep in some. Whew. That, you talk about just sacrilegious. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Well, first of all, Isaac, Esau is not who you're supposed to be blessing in the first place. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "This is the voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Completely disobedient to what God had said of who was the blessed in this. But there's a lack of self-awareness for what's going on. Keep going. And he said there in verse 26, "And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Remember, this is the Abrahamic covenant passed down to Isaac. Isaac knows that he's supposed to pass this down to Jacob, but he thinks he's passing it down to Esau right now. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto the father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." But oh, the elder is supposed to serve the younger. And Isaac's still trying to bless the older. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." It's too late. I already blessed them, because in their culture, in their covenant, you make a covenant with somebody, you say it, you can't take it back. Too late now. If you take it back, it was almost a situation where you could be put to death. If you read Levitical law and you go back in your Bible in the Old Testament, if you make a deal with somebody and you go back on it, the whole of the congregation has the right to come against you and judge you. And in their day, it was stoning for breaking an oath with someone. Was serious business. Now, this predates the law, obviously, but this is serious business. I mean, think about that now. You break a deal in our culture. Hopefully, you're not Christian against Christian suing each other, but you break a deal and there's legalities involved. There's going to be a judgment, right? You say that you're going to sell somebody for this amount and you've got it in writing, you got it down, and you try to break that, there'll be a judgment. That's what's going on here. He says, "I blessed somebody." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." All Esau, just a couple of chapters ago, you despised your birthright. You got rid of this blessing for a little bit of food. Now hear me. Hear the application. You know, we can become what we would term a sellout. We can sell Jesus out for a little bit of fleshly want a lot of times, can't we? And then when God comes to us and when we get chastised, the real Bible-believing Christian won't just cry and be upset. They'll cry tears and have godly sorrow, which worketh repentance, and they'll get right. But the ones, these are the people that get out of church. Brother Philip sent me an article the other day that was really good, about people that, you know, get out of church and these things. But these are the people that get out of church. When they have made decisions, when they sold their birthright, when they despise their birthright because they chose to sin and they're called out for it. A lot of times it happens by the preacher or people in church. When they're called out, they walk away from the faith because instead of getting right, the easiest thing to do is blame everybody else. Now, I hope that there's nobody in here like this, but there's a lot of people in here like this because we've all done it sometime. You ever been wrong and know you're wrong and somebody calls you out on it and you got an excuse or you try to make it somebody else's fault? This is like classic Christianity 101 these days. Well, yeah, this is my favorite one. Please don't be this person. Pastor Brandon's going to like this. It's been in the bulletin for 6 weeks. And then you get mad at us because you're like, well, I didn't know that was happening. I never heard anybody announce that. Pastor Jeremy does announcements every Sunday night. One of the guys does announcements. Pastor Carter, Pastor Xavier, Pastor Brandon switch every single Sunday morning. It runs through these stupid slides. It's on live stream. It's on the website. It's on Facebook. There's a huge bulletin hanging in the middle bulletin on the hall that half of you don't know exists there. And then you say, well, I didn't know we were having a soup fellowship. I really don't care if you don't know. But then you know what they say? Well, nobody told me. The audacity to say that. Because that's what people do. People don't want to take accountability for the things they've done. Hey, God's trying to bless you, Isaac. He tried to bless you, Esau. And because you messed it up, you don't get to blame it on anybody else. That's what people do, isn't it? That's literally natural. Oh, this happens in families all the time. Anybody have a family where there's more than just two of you, or grew up in a family where there was just more of two than two of you, and somebody eats the last of something and nobody's going to admit who did it? And this is how it works in my house. Now, we don't do it anymore. When my kids were little, anybody buy bottled water for their house? When my kids were little, we used to get bottled water, and I really don't know why, but we didn't have one of those refrigerators with water or anything on it. We bought, and they would like all have a bottle of water, and they became not mine's. We're like, whose half-drinking bottle of water is this? Like, it's not mine, it's not mine. Okay, there's only four of you. And so there's a 25% chance that it's one of yours, because me and Mom, it's not ours. Well, I don't know whose it is. And I'll be like, I guess the ghost drank it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But now it's like this. There's not, everybody eats all the food. It's always gone, right? And this is the kind of stuff they do, but nobody admits it. You go in there, and you know how I feel about little Debbie. I go in there, and I want to get me a Star Crunch or an oatmeal cream pie, and the box is in there, but it's empty. You ever seen your pastor enraged? You've never seen your pastor enraged, like thinking I'm going to have a delicious oatmeal cream pie. But now I've got kids that drive, and this is the kind of stuff I say. This is the kind of stuff I say from my throne of my home. I say, if someone doesn't go to the gas station and get me an oatmeal cream pie, everybody's got to move out today. Jaleese be on her skateboard, getting it down to the gas station. I'm like, it was her. Because if I ask, who ate the last oatmeal cream pie and left the box in the closet?
It wasn't me.
Well, your mom doesn't eat them. And I know I didn't get the last one. But you know, every once in a while, I eat the last one. And I forgot. And they were like, who ate the last oatmeal cream pie? I'm like, I don't know. And Changer's like, who ate the last one? I'm like, one of your kids. We all do it sometimes, don't we? We all do it sometimes. And that's what's going on here. Now you want to cry. Don't cry now. You don't cry now that you sold your birthright. Don't cry now that you gave up. Don't cry now that God wanted to bless you, but you want what you wanted because of your selfish fleshly appetite. Don't cry now. And if you are going to cry, don't cry just to cry. Cry and repent. Get right. Keep reading here. verse 35. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. Oh, but the Bible says you despised your birthright. Jacob, we call Jacob deceiver and trickster. And yes, he did hold him hostage, but was anything in that context? Remember we said this? It was free will. Was there anything? Jacob didn't hold a stone to his head. He had the option. It would have been better to die with his birthright than to live without it. It's better to, for me to live is what? And to die is. It's better to die to yourself than to live how you want to live. If any man follow me, he has to take up his cross and follow me daily. Lay down his life, right? He says, "He's, you know what, Daddy, you named him right. He's Jacob. He's planted me two times. He's tricked me. And he took away my birthright." No, you gave it away. You despised it, you liar! And that's what we do sometimes. It was them. I don't go to church anymore because they're mean to me. Shut up. No, you don't go because you're lazy. Because you're sorry, you don't want to do nothing, and somebody called you out, and so you want to sit home, and then everybody else at the church. Now, if two people leave, and there's still 150 here, who do you think were the ones that were wrong?
Well, I can't believe it.
The church we came from, there are 1,000 people there. People believe,
well, I leave because they didn't call my name on the roll for birthdays.
Well, go on and leave. Go over to one of them little trifling podunk churches that smells like feet. Go on over there. Like, once you hear anyway, old mean heifer, get out of here. Seriously, that drives me nuts. You know what I'm talking about? Pastor Jeremy's down there doing the best he can in junior church. We just like here, Mr. Jeremy, Miss Christy, just take all these kids and just hold on to them for an hour and a half. We ain't got no room for you to grow. It's snowing. You can't go outside. Just do your best. I wish somebody would come to me and say, my kid didn't get any candy today. It's never happened, but I'll lose my mind. Because you know what I'm going to say? He didn't give me no candy neither. What are you talking about? I'm getting no nerd clusters or nothing. You better go on out of here. It was a dollar. Go get your kid some candy. You're going to comply. I've heard parents like that.
My kids don't have anything to eat down there.
Where in the Bible does it say that the children's pastor had to give you candy? Are you kidding me? It's not happening here, but I've heard these kind of things happen in churches and things like that. And we got to be real careful because look what he says. He says, he took away my birthright. Nobody took it. You gave it away. You despised it. It was your fault. Take some accountability. The reason why you are where you are in your life is because of the decisions you've made, not what other people have done. So because you're not happy with your life, don't try to cause hell all around everybody else's life because you're not happy with you. And that's what Esau's going to do because we're going to see this narrative. He's going to want to kill Jacob, right? We're going to get some of the most fabulous stories of the Old Testament with Jacob because Esau's chasing him because of Esau's mistakes. Now, I realize Jacob did come in, and it was really their mama's fault. She's the one that said, Jacob, come over here. Let me make some meat up. Let me get this. But he wants to kill Jacob, right? Same thing with Cain. Abel didn't do nothing to Cain. Cain's mad because God called him out. So what's he do? Bust Abel upside the head with a rock. Isn't that so much like us? We got to be careful. Keep going here. He says, he got me, verse 36, still in the middle. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Well, first of all, you saw it was never your blessing because even when you were in the womb, God said, the younger is going to be the one who's better, and the elder is going to serve the younger. And your parents knew that. They were given that. So that's bad parenting because they should have had a little talk with little Esau, little old hairy Elmo. They should have had a conversation with him. They said, now listen here, little Elmo. We got to tell you something. We know you're the older brother, but your younger brother's just better than you. Now, I'm not sure that's exactly how they should have said it, but they should have gave him a reasonable expectation. Like, you can still be great. You're going to be this mighty warrior, but your brother's getting the spiritual. He's getting the stuff. But you know what? Oh, snap. This might hurt somebody's feelings in here today. But that happens in our families today, don't it?
Well, Mom said she was leaving me the hutch.
Brother. So now we ain't spoke for 10 years. We sue brothers and sisters suing each other because you didn't get left the China that mom died and left. When a Christian family dies, you find out for real what's important to them. When somebody in a Christian family dies, oh, they get nasty, don't they? Some of y'all have been through that. I told y'all before, my mom has 7 brothers and sisters, and she's 8. She's the oldest girl, and their oldest brother sued his 7 siblings because he didn't get something from their mom and dad's house. Didn't speak to them for years. Didn't go to my mom's funeral. Sued them all. He lost, had to pay them a whole bunch of money. But isn't it crazy? Oh, it's still, this is applicable to what goes on in our culture and our world today. He says, because you've not reserved a blessing for me. Well, he would have had a blessing for you if you would have accepted the blessing that was for you. Not every blessing's for you, because God blesses other people too. Hey, guess what? This is why God says there's one wife. Chandra's my blessing, and I'm hers. Amen. But you know what? That was the blessing reserved for me, right? But guess what? It's my blessing to be the pastor of this church. But that's why I'm autonomous, and what anybody else does at their church is their business, because my blessing's here. Well, I don't care what they do at their church. I don't care what version of the Bible they use. I don't care what songs they sing. Not my business. They want to be blessed, they'll use the King James, but that's none of my business. That's none of my business. But me personally here, this is my blessing. So I don't need to worry about it. Well, listen, my mom used to say this, and it's not very spiritual, but she always said this. She said, why do you worry about what they're doing? She's like, what they eat don't make you go to the bathroom. It's kind of a good point. She didn't say it so wholly, but you don't use your imagination. Just know that's what she used to say. And I'm like, you know what, Mama? That's a good point. My mom had these great proverbs. She wasn't a spiritual woman, but she had these great country proverbs. And I remember, people say, how do you remember all that stuff? I'm like, because they were valuable to me. And I remember, and I can apply them spiritually. But you know what? What Pastor Carter does in his life don't have no bearing on what's going on in my home. What Brother Brad's doing in his house don't have no bearing. So you know what I'm not doing? I'm not looking in their life and going, I wonder what they're doing over there. That ain't my blessing. It's their blessing. My mom used to say this, keep your nose on your face. I say, Mama, why they put your nose back on your face? When I was a little kid, when she'd say stupid stuff like that, I'd be like, how my nose, like, are we playing a game? Like, she'd be like, she's such a dumb little boy. That's what she'd be saying. She's like, he's so dumb. But anyway, I grew up and I understood. 37, we're going to speed up here. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. Woo! Woo! Your little brother, he says, is your Lord. Now, ladies, I want to remind you that Sarah called Abraham Lord. And so you should be calling your husband Lord. Anyway, it's not biblical. I just wanted to say that. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Here's this grown, big old Cabela's loving man. This big old hairy hunter. And he's just crying, oh, daddy. He's 40 years old. Plus some, we just saw that. Here he's crying, daddy. Bless me, father. Do you have just one blessing for me? Just a nugget? And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live. And Islam is the most bloody religion. Research it. Let me take that back. The Catholic Church is the most bloody religion. Islam is in that. And him being the father of these Arabic people. It's not. Listen. We're not racist. It's not like we're talking about car bombers and hijackers and things like this. We're just talking about history. Way before there was cars and bombings, the Islamic people murder themselves and murder each other. And that's why still today, you do a foul or run a foul, and they'll just kill you. Inside of their own culture, not outside of that, just inside of their own things, right? He says, and by the sword shall thou live. Remember what Jesus says about living by the sword? You live by the sword. By the sword you're going to live. What a curse. And he says to him, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob. Look at that. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. You know why he got that blessing, Esau? One, because it was God's blessing for Jacob regardless. And two, because you sold your birthright anyway. Remember we talked about the physical and the spiritual? The spiritual was that God blessed Jacob before when they were in the womb. But the physical is Esau despised and sold his birthright. And he gave it up. Those chapters go together. Abraham's spiritual, here's the blessing. God gives you a revelation. Here's the physical. Abimelech is going to say, oh, come on and build up like your father had. And it goes in succession. And Esau, but what does Esau do? Instead of repenting and saying, you know what, Father, whatever it is, that's my lot. Because I had part in this. I was partly to blame in this. But instead, he hates Jacob. You ever had somebody turn on you or you turned on somebody because they got what you wanted or you got what they wanted? So now they're mad. I'm going to say this with the sweetest intentions I possibly can. I have been in meetings with other men of God that I respect and trust, and they are literally at odds with each other. And what it ultimately comes down to is that somebody is jealous of the other. And not because I'm more spiritual, but I've kind of removed myself from that situation because it's the most, there is nothing like a bunch of girls fighting than some independent Baptist pastors who are jealous of each other. And it just turns my stomach. And so I just decided I'd start hanging out with some different people that won't be spiritual because I just don't have time for that. That's nonsense.
That such and such preacher of the church, they never had me come preach at the church.
I wish that I just got to preach at my church every Sunday and nowhere else. Remember I told you last week, I don't want to preach away that much? I said that in that Monday. I got 3 calls to go preach somewhere else this year. And I was like, dang it. I was like, oh. It's hard to say no to it, but like, I'm like, Lord, please let that be the only 3. I hate traveling. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to come here on Sunday. But I got these friends. I'm talking about real friends, like people you know, people that preach there, and they be in these meetings and like crying. Are you kidding me? That wasn't your blessing. And also be able to clap for your friends. Be able to clap for your brothers. Good for you. Who cares? What's that got to do with you? Be able to be happy. Teenagers, I would encourage you. This is something that teenagers are bad at. Be able to clap for your brothers and sisters. Be able to clap for your friends. Something good's going on in their life. Don't be jealous and be catty. That's why we make fun of teenagers when you're acting like a teenager. But I'll be honest with you, but adults still act like teenagers sometimes. And every once in a while, the pastor has to spank them and tell them, stop acting like a bunch of 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds. Because sometimes, you know, teenage boys are great. They can get into a fight, and the next day, they're just buddies again. They're like, now, girls, after we get the claws out of the other person's side, maybe they can come back to friendship. But I would encourage you, be able to, something good happens to your friend, be happy for them. It's right in the Lord. Amen. The disciples had that issue too, didn't they? Who's going to be greatest among us? Jesus was like, shut up. Jesus was way nicer than me. But he's like, he that is first shall be last, and he that's last shall be first. You know what that means? We always are like, oh, the top 3. Peter, James, and John are the top 3 of Jesus, but they serve Thaddeus in the kingdom. They serve Nathaniel and Andrew in the kingdom because that's what Jesus said. And Esau hated Jacob, verse 41, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Look what it says. He comforts himself because he purposes to kill you. He's going to make himself feel better by killing his own physical brother. And that's what we do when we get mad at people. We're just trying to make ourselves feel better. We're upset. We're mad about something that didn't go right with us. So we want to say harsh words. You know, that's when people act like a kid and throw a temper tantrum. They get in an argument and they can't think of anything intelligent to say. So they have to go to name calling. Because resorting to name calling means you weren't intelligent enough to articulate a thought. And so you have to try to hurt somebody because you're hurt. Because hurt people hurt people. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Oh, he's going to get everything he can handle over there with Laban, ain't he? and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. A few days turns into several years, right? Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take of the wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And then we're going to get into some of the most historic chapters of Genesis here in the next couple of weeks. But let me just remind you, hey guys, do good unto others. Do good to them, especially those who are of the household of faith, the Bible says. And when something does happen, especially something that's your fault, take accountability. Don't get mad at other people. Get the situation fixed. Don't be mad at somebody else has a blessing. You just be thanking and thankful for the blessings that God gave you. And when somebody else does get blessed, be able to cheer for them. Yes. When somebody else gets a blessing, praise the Lord. Good for you. Somebody be able to has worked hard and they got a brand new car and they roll into the church parking lot. Don't be like, man, I wish I had one of those. I can't believe it. I wonder what they had to do to get that. I wonder how many other kids they had to sell to get that car. Don't be that person. Be like, praise the Lord. Good for you. We have to be very, very mindful, self-aware, and make sure that our heart remains spiritual in nature and not fleshly. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, grateful for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We look forward to how you're going to continue to bless us. We've had a good day. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every person as we come to this time of altar call. Lord, if there's anything that people want to get out and off to you at the altar, Lord, I would tell them that even now they can come. Should there be one here in this room that does not know Jesus Christ truly as Lord and Savior, tonight there's no better place and time than in the church to be saved. Man, you talk about Super Sunday. You get saved today, that's the most Super Sunday you'll ever have. As the music begins to play, if you need